Safety First.
Welcome to Safety First, TÜV SÜD's podcast on cybersecurity and more. I'm Sabine Krömer from Corporate Comms at TÜV SÜD. Can companies and public institutions insure themselves against cyber attacks? That's what we are talking about today with Bettina Dietsche. She is Chief Operating Officer at Allianz Global Corporate Specialty, which is the leading global corporate insurance carrier of Allianz Group. And one of their lines offers cybersecurity protection. Welcome, Bettina. Great to have you here today.
Thanks for having me, Sabine.
Cybercrime is a growing threat to the economy and society. In Germany alone, the number of attacks recorded by the police was more than 100,000 in 2019, which is a new high. The number of unreported cases is, of course, much higher. The German BSI, the Bundesamt für Sicherheit in der Informationstechnologie, stated in its latest annual report, Corona is escalating the cyber threat situation. The BSI currently reported 320,000 new malware programs per day. The financial damage caused by cyber criminals is also enormous. Cybercrime costs the global economy more than $500 billion every year, posing a real threat to the entire world. So, Bettina, cyber insurance is still a relatively new area in the insurance industry. How expensive can a data breach be for companies actually?
Unfortunately, it can be really huge and significant, and it's, of course, growing. So if we look at our statistics and the data there, if you look at a large-scale data theft, for instance, with more than 1 million stolen records, it can easily cost you to an average of $42 million. So that tells you also, if I look a bit at the developments of this topic, in alone 2016, we only had 77 claims reported in the light of cyber. If you look at it now from last year's perspective, it's well beyond 800 already, and the number is drastically growing. And so is the impact, honestly. And if I look at my colleagues from Munich Re, they have just recently looked into what's the growth of this insurance attack. I mean, that adds up to US$7 billion. So it's really a huge, huge area, and unfortunately, a growing one also in terms of what the impact really means.
So these are really impressive numbers. Which cyber attacks are companies particularly afraid of?
Yeah, I would probably say there are three things to mention here. Me personally, from a COO perspective, I see the highest growing areas, and this is all linked to data breaches. Because, you know, if you look at our regulatory requirements, the general data protection regulations, the stricter data laws, so everything is increasing. And obviously also from a company's perspective, the threat of getting hacked and really losing data, customer data, health data, if you could imagine also for some of our insurance companies, it's a big, big threat. So I would say this is certainly the number one area. Secondly, I would really say the things we've seen now with COVID and the home office, you know, how the impact is if more and more people work remotely. And very clearly, even though you try to actually make sure that security is still the same in the home environment or in a mobile environment, this risk has drastically increased. I mean, if you look at loan last year, and imagine this is not 1 year down the road, but last year in April 2020, if I look at the FBI alone, they reported more than 300% increase in related incidents coming out of being in home office or being in a mobile setup. So this one, I think, will also not go away, right? Because, I mean, we all now learn to work in a hybrid model, and that's why this risk is certainly a growing one, which no one had on the radar that drastically until actually COVID started. And lastly, I would say that's, for me personally, a big threat. It's the ransomware kind of spread. If I look at the Maze or the Ryuk, you know, all these ransomware attacks, which we have really seen recently disrupting actually the business chains, right? In the sense of what manufacturers or the public sectors or health institutions realized. That's probably for me number three, that this is increasing drastically in attacks we're facing. And if you look at the total cost of the ransomware claims, that was $25 billion in 2019. And that figure will rise easily to beyond $170 billion when downtime costs are also included. So it's a big threat And that's why I would say those three areas are certainly, from my perspective, the ones companies are typically most afraid of.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's also, of course, a question of the business continuity after you have been hacked. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. It takes quite long to restore if you're hacked, to really bring everything back into normal. That's true, Sabine.
In your perception, Bettina, how important is protection against cyber attacks for companies already today on a worldwide basis?
Very relevant, I would say. Very relevant because, I mean, if you just look back a couple of weeks ago, if you saw at the beginning of March the 10s of thousands of Microsoft customers who were affected by hacker attacks, mm-hmm. or, I mean, if I look at the Marriott Group, we probably all remember that, where they lost hundreds of millions of customer data, or the Maersk Group, where they got the Petya attack. I mean, those are real cases, right? And the impact which is hitting customers or companies is pretty drastic. And honestly, me personally, I still get goosebumps when I remember talking to Jürgen Hahn. He actually joined us in one of our Berliner Digital Dialoge. That's a story. It's really threatening to see and hear this from someone who actually suffered a cyber attack and really going through the pain of not knowing what's going to happen, how you get your goods out, how you sell pieces. Then you need to negotiate with someone who you don't know. You need to be taking out emotions, which is, I think, probably the toughest thing to see. And then, as we just said, it takes you weeks to restore things afterwards. So that journey and that reality, that clearly shows this is happening. This is not just a theoretical threat. It's really happening. And more we see these things reported and becoming public.
So what was, again, the case there with Marco Polo? Can you remember what happened to them, actually? They were breached, I think, or blackmailed.
Right. They got also a ransom threat. And they got this on a Friday morning, I think, they got the message like, you know, we will completely block your computers in the afternoon unless you transfer or wire a certain amount of money. And basically what he explained was the reality that first it took them quite a while to really figure out how to deal with this. Is this serious? Who needs to talk to them? What do you need to do on the IT perspective? Do you need to shut down? Whom do you need to inform? You need to talk to your banks to really make sure that you can wire something like that. Then they were completely overwhelmed with who would do the negotiation with these criminals, right? So it took them the whole weekend to basically get this thing settled, sorted out, negotiated. Once they actually placed the payment, I mean, you still do not know, do you get the key to get everything solved? And they got this. However, it, as he actually said, it took them more than 4 weeks to completely restore and be completely in control again of everything they had. And I mean, imagine a nightmare as an experience. And this is a mid-sized market company. And probably for those, it's even affecting more because not everyone probably is already anticipating what this could do. And this can really happen to each of us in various company situations. Probably the larger corporates are more familiar with taking prevention for those cases. But for many middle market companies or small market companies, it's probably still a bit the theory. And he has proven us wrong in demonstrating this case because it's clearly reality.
Did they have a cyber insurance? Actually, did they?
No, they did not. Actually, Jürgen was presenting this in the Munich Security Conference 2 years ago or 1.5 years ago. And he said at the end, he got a question from one of the journalists and said, like, what would you do differently? And his answer was honestly like, I would certainly go for an insurance, cyber insurance.
So this leads me to my next question. If I do have an insurance against cyber attacks, so then I'm all set. I don't need to invest anything in technology, right?
Yeah, that would be a very wrong assumption, okay. I should probably say. And typically, this goes very much hand in hand, right? Because ultimately, you insure someone or something where you get a feeling for how well do they take care of being protected. And the good thing is that I think think the risk awareness is really coming forward now. You probably know we have an Allianz risk barometer where we typically look into, you know, how are risks judged globally, what's coming forward. And it's interesting to see that only 5 years ago, this risk of cyber attacks was really ranked, I think, 8th or 9th place of all the pieces. And now in the last years, it has really made its step up to number one, so that we can clearly see that beyond 50%, they now consider cyber risk as really, firstly, it needs to be part of an overall risk management. But secondly, it's really on the radar to do investments into making sure that, you know, systems, IT setups are protected in the right way.
So now is the time.
Yes, it is. And clearly with the pandemic-driven acceleration, which we see, I think more than ever, there is an investment that people see that you need to look into not just the systems and your IT setup, the interconnection and the networks, the firewalls, the backups, all these bits and pieces. It's certainly also understood that investing into the education of the employees to understand what about phishing emails, how do you need to revisit certain attacks. So the education on the people side is equally important, because most attacks actually happen because there's a human error somewhere happening.
So that's very interesting, Bettina. But when I do have an insurance and when I'm breached, what criteria must be met to be covered in this case?
Different pieces, I would say. Firstly, of course, what we really would look into is, as I said already, how is your IT set up in the company you have? Like, do you have backups stored offline? What is the patch management? How do you look at the training and the awareness of people? Are the firewalls, the virus scanners, the segregation of networks, are these all in place? So it's a very technical judgment in order to make sure that, you know, we could actually really guarantee insurance on top of that. I think what comes along, what most people do not have in mind, a good insurance from our perspective covers not just these pieces, but it also offers things like doing IT forensic, for instance, in the sense of you get hacked, because then you need to have experts on the ground to really tell you what to do, how to do it, and how to look into all the bits and pieces. You need to have legal assistance or reputational assistance. How do you protect things going forward? So there is a service set around a typical insurance, which really complements the actual work happening. If you look at what's the typical damage, it's either a liability damage. You know, you lose the data, or the third party data gets disclosed, and, you know, like Marriott had it. So that liability damage is certainly a key piece. Or you have really business interruptions that you cannot produce longer, or even the whole supply chain is unable to do this further. So covered means really not just from a narrow insurance perspective, but also what do you need as a support if things happening. And as I said earlier on, given that it sometimes takes 4, 5, 6 weeks to restore everything, you know, that time you also need to get support to make sure that you come back to business in a rapid manner. So that's all what is looked at from an insurance perspective.
So when I'm breached and when the attack has happened, what should I do when I'm in a company and I really don't know what's the first step, and what's your recommendation?
Yeah, it's actually a good question. And honestly, I can tell you I had a crisis drill on exactly this topic 2 months ago to really practice what you do in this situation. And of course, the learnings from what we see, how customers deal with it, you know, what's happening in the real situation, that's insightful, because for the first 2 hours, you're in a panic, no one knowing what to do and how to attack this first. So very clearly, having a crisis management with the explicit roles in there, where you need to have people who can take care of communication, of responsiveness to customers, the IT representative in there, you know, your protection and resilience or BCM colleague in there, the key functions, the key countries, maybe even if you are hacked on a global scale, that's kind of a composition where this team need to come together to own and steer. And you will probably laugh a bit, but some pieces are really steered along checklists, which are very helpful, so that you explicitly know whom do I need to inform, how do I work with banks. In this case, it's a very relevant topic, because if you can imagine you get a ransomware attack and they ask you to pay ransom, you know what you do? You need to be very close with your treasury, with your finance department to make sure that you can actually have the right competences and the right people to talk to. You need to have a legal aspect, of course, very much, because in a situation like that, you are actually forced to report this to regulatory authorities out. So there is a really dedicated checklist required. And I would really recommend, as silly as it sounds, that you have practiced this, because this gives you confidence that you know exactly what to do, to whom to talk. And then, of course, every situation is different. But all these steps, what to do in the case you get this, it's really helpful if you have prepared this. And I can only recommend train it. It sounds artificial. I can clearly tell you, when we do this, it's the learning. Also, in our case, I am the crisis manager of the company. So I would be the one who need to actually orchestrate who talks to whom. You know, there's a lot happening and there is a sequence to this. Not everything runs in the same way, but the more organized you are and the more you lose time, you're not losing time. That's what I wanted to say. Because if you are in panic mode for 2-3 hours, you lose time. You lose time to react. You lose time to orchestrate. And also, if things get public, you know, that's something where you can imagine your communication, you know, all the work you do with your shareholders, with your customers. It's super critical how you interact with them in an early stage on this situation.
Okay, but when I'm now not a large corporation, but a small and medium enterprise, what do I do now? So I really have problems now.
Yes and no. I would challenge that a bit, because typically I heard that very often, that people feel like it's easier for the large corporates to take action on all these pieces. And that might be in a way true, that for a large corporate where you are a global player, you know, you need to have many things in place from an IT perspective anyhow. However, as I said, I think one of the key learnings, we did an investigation on all of our claims coming forward. And the majority of issues is actually caused by not having employees really sensitive, alerted to topics, as I said. So I think even in a smaller corporate, you can invest into making sure that your people understand what cyber attacks mean, how you can prevent this. And, you know, if you run a shop, you have to have things like backups in place. You have to look at how virus and firewalls and networks are set up. So I think I would probably challenge that statement, only large corp can do it. I think there is a way also for smaller companies to really make sure that basics, explicitly the basic stuff is met. Because most of the issues really, in the sense of quantity, is really coming through because of human errors or not treating emails, phishing emails in the right way. So I think that's a fair statement, that everyone can do something to really protect the company's asset and the company's business, basically.
So that's good news for all the small and medium enterprises out there. So don't give up.
No,
too soon. And it's not all about tech and not all about investing lots of money. It's also about getting the things right. And these are mostly the basic things in the first place. So we already talked about what a cyber insurance includes, like you mentioned the forensic experts. Would you like to add something to that?
Yeah, as I said, probably. I mean, first and outmost, it's about the business interruption losses or liability losses. I think that's certainly the biggest area. But extending this scope to really look for how do you technically recover? How do you do a reinstallation of data software? How do you get further internal investigations running? How do you look at IT forensic, the legal, crisis management, you know, even consultancy service to really make sure you have the right experts on this specific topic? So I would probably say that what covers a good insurance product, to not just go after the narrow definition, but really to make a customer feel well protected explicitly when something happens, because it's not a payment only. It's really might take people a very long time to recover. from something like that.
Can you give concrete examples where cyber insurance actually helped companies?
I guess if I look at some of the cases we have seen or we have investigated, it's explicitly on data breaches, as I said earlier on. I think that's the biggest help, or to really minimize the business interruption. I mean, that's certainly also from a money perspective, the biggest hit. If this hits that you cannot produce anymore or that you cannot sell anymore or work with your suppliers on this. So this is where I think the support is seen the most. If I look at it from a market perspective, it's still small. It's still relatively small. If you look at, you know, how many companies would go for, if I look at Germany alone, we can see the companies, potential customers and companies who would cater for and cyber insurance would probably more than 3 million in Germany alone. And the actual companies who currently have an insurance is probably still way below 5%. So there is a path to go and a way to go. And we will certainly see this with this increasing risk and threat that more and more companies will consider this going forward.
So we already talked about the awareness and trainings that need to be done with the employees. And you are also people officer at AGCS, right?
Yeah.
And therefore, my last question to you would be, how should a good cybersecurity education look like? And what are the success factors here?
Yeah, I think I cannot recommend this more, honestly, because, I mean, we talk in general in this world of digitalization and all the upskilling which people need to go through over the next years in order to stay relevant. That's a key theme, I would say, not just for cyber or technology, but really beyond that, that, you know, people need to make sure that they stay relevant with their skills. But if I look at this topic specifically, I think, regardless of whether you are in a technology company or in another area, dealing with technology and what that can do will not go away. It will be an included part of our life, if we like it or not, but it's part and it will grow. So this is why actually on our side, I can really only emphasize that making sure that people understand what they use technology for, what that this can produce as a damage if you're not using it right, if you take data security probably not serious enough, what can happen if you lose millions of data to the outside market and if it gets visible that you're not protecting the hard for many companies, which is the data of customers, that is really probably the biggest threat. So I think we have injected a lot and we continuously do this to really upskill our people regularly. And I can only recommend to all of you guys out there, that's key. Because as I said, we did a study across all of our insurance claims. And it was super impressive to see that actually the external attacks, they lead to the most expensive cyber insurance losses if you get this ransomware or these big attacks. But the employee errors on technical problems, this is, on the other hand, the most frequent cause for a cyber attack. And that's why I think a continuous education is key and will certainly even increase further rather than getting smaller or little relevant.
This is a very good advice that you're giving, Bettina. So it's just comes down to the very basic things very often, like training, preparing, doing checklists on what to do and crisis training. So thank you very much, Bettina, for being our guest today. Take care and stay safe.
Thanks, Sabine. Very nice. I was happy to be here. It's a great topic and it will unfortunately keep us busy more and more. So thanks for having me talking to this topic. Thank you.
Thank you, Bettina. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You will find all episodes of Safety First wherever you get your podcasts or at tuvsud.com/podcast. That is tuvsud.com/podcast. Stay safe and tune in for more to follow. Safety First is produced by TÜV Süd, supported by Ikone Media.